Welcome to Experiential Marketing Today.
Welcome to this episode of Experiential Marketing Today. This show is about the theory and practice of using experiences to engage audiences with the authentic nature of a brand or company. We believe that it may be the most powerful tool marketers have, but it's also something of a mystery. My name is Todd Austin. I'll be your host for this episode. Episode 8, Interview with Robin Waters. The 2008 Event Marketing Innovation Tour recently made a stop in Nashville, which was the sixth of nine cities on the tour. The Event Marketing Innovation Tour pulls together the latest ideas and best practices in event and experiential marketing for a half-day seminar. This year's keynote presenter for all nine stops on the tour was Robin Waters. Robin is the former Vice President of Trend, Design, and Product Development for Target. She is the author of two books, The Trendmaster's Guide, Get a Jump on What Your Customer Wants Next, and The Hummer and the Mini, Navigating the Contradictions of the New Trend Landscape. She's also a contributing author, along with Tom Peters, Seth Godin, and Malcolm Gladwell, for The Big Moo. We caught up with Robin about an hour before her presentation. The following interview took place in the hall where she was about to speak. So, Robin, this concept of design has followed you around like a puppy. Guys like Seth Godin and Daniel Pink either talk about you by name in their books, or they talk about the work that you did at Target. How has design become so important? How did we get here?
Well, I can give you a little bit of a background. When I came to Target in 1992, it was a $3 billion retailer, discounter. It was an also-ran. Walmart was 10 times bigger. Kmart was 3 times bigger. We had a very visionary CEO who looked at the numbers and said, you know, there's no way we can win on scale, economies of scale, cutting expenses. We need to truly differentiate. And so what he did was innovate, reframe a unique space in the retail landscape between a discounter and between a high-end department store. And therefore, Target carved out the space, upscale discounter. In order to achieve that, for a discounter to go into the market to buy goods, the goods that were out there weren't trend right, they weren't well designed, they weren't great quality, so we had to do it a different way. And what we ended up doing is creating an internal design department so that we would have exclusive, design-driven, trend right product. People often ask me, what is the secret to success? You know, what made Target Target? And there's three things. It's the idea that the company wanted to borrow on their department store heritage and be trend right. Notice I didn't say trend forward, but trend right. The second is they were going to be guest-focused, and guest is in the tradition of Disney. So trend right means what are the trends, research them out there, but then translate them. Translate is the key, effectively for the guests, but design was the secret sauce. Design was the tool that we used internally to create exclusive product based on that trend research, based on knowing our guests and, you know, tracking the trends around the world and then translating them effectively. And so we became really the first bastion in the U.S. for what people now call democratic design or cheap chic. And we had people whose models we could follow. IKEA was doing it in the Scandinavian countries. And so... You know, we didn't innovate that whole idea, but we applied it to retail for the first time. And so as the head of the design department, trend and design, I literally hired the first designer and I hired the 100th designer. And there's been many more hired since then. So that was a 10-year period, $3 billion to $42 billion in 10 years, Target to Target in 10 years because of great design.
What are some examples of some of those products that came out of that design focus?
There's a story about a sippy cup. It was designed by Philippe Starck. It was one of 50 products in a Starck reality design program. Unlike any other sippy cup you've ever seen, it was on a pedestal. It was made out of clear plastic to look like cut crystal, and it had loving cup handles. And it retailed for $3.49. When the buyers first saw this prototype proposed design that Philippe Starck recommended, they looked at it and they go, no way, that's not what a sippy cup looks like. You know, why would you put it on a pedestal? whatever. And what Philippe Starck did was demonstrated that good design is about more than function. He filled it full of grape juice and he tipped it over and nothing spilled. So he said, see, it's functional. It works. It's functional. It's inexpensive. We can retail this for $3.49, but that's not why you should buy this design. And he took out a picture of his daughter. He had a little daughter who was 2 years old, and he said, here's why you should buy this sippy cup. And what he was saying was that this little girl, whoever used the sippy cup, should feel like a princess when she drank from her sippy cup, just like mom and dad did when they drank their Veuve Clicquot champagne from a cut crystal Waterford champagne flute. So it wasn't about the cup or even the design of the cup. It was how that design made that little girl feel. And that's the essence of, you know, design with heart. So that was one product out of thousands in the years that I was there. There was a very famous toilet brush cleaner from Michael Graves that made a full-color spread in Time magazine. We had a Coach's Whistle tea kettle from Michael Graves that retailed for $24.99 that was in every, you know, hot design magazine around the country. So it was everything from garage storage and organization to kitchen towels to bedding to dorm room supplies. Even food. There wasn't an aspect within Target that the design strategy wasn't applied to in order to create more design-oriented products. And it's the whole essence of their brand promise. Expect more, pay less. You could expect more trend, more design, more quality, more fashion, and then you'd pay less for it. But not just less for it than if you were buying at another discounter. But you could get the same thing, the gold-plated charger plate at Target, for half what you pay at Crate and Barrel, and it was made in the same factory. So that was a big part of the success.
You are the keynote speaker at all 9 tour stops for the Event Marketing Innovation Tour. This will be the 6th of those, I believe, that you're about to do today. What is the connection between design and event marketing?
I'm presenting a talk called Design with Heart, and I've found so many great ideas and so many examples of great design with heart in each of the 6 cities that I visited. And by that I mean there's a personal, emotional connection to the audience, to the clients, with me as the guest speaker. And I've seen tremendous differentiation. There's been a consistency of the quality of the event, very high quality, beautifully designed, but everyone is different. And it's really kind of a paradox. They're alike, but they're different. And each one is different because they take the heart and soul of the essence of who their employees are, who their mission is, who their clients are, and they've applied them beautifully. I've been in a 16th century church in the middle of a farm field in Philadelphia. I'm here at the Music Hall of Fame in Nashville. I've been at production sites and warehouses that have been turned into beautiful. I've danced with a robot. It's been a really great, amazing visual interaction of great design turned into a great experience. It's designing a wonderful experience by using the emotional principles connecting.
If you were to give us a state of the union of how far we've come in event design, what would the short answer to that question be?
I think phenomenal. And I think that there's so much an industry like this can do to the industry at large out there, because I go and I speak at a lot of events, and many of them are same old, same old. They're not interactive. They're just, you know, someone on a stage presenting. And what I've seen are so many great techniques and ideas to involve the audience, to get them to participate, to interact with them, that there's just so much possibility for an industry and companies like this to deliver that out to the bigger picture. So it's just been outstanding.
Robin, if folks would like to find out more about your work, find out more about the books you've written and the research you've done, how would they do that?
I have a website. It's www.rwtrend.com. And I'd like to say that I have a free monthly newsletter called Trend Counter Trend. And if you click on Robin's newsletter, you can hear from me once a month.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed that brief interview. The content Robin gave us in that interview was a preview of what she covered in her full presentation, and it's our intent to give you that full presentation as the next episode of Experiential Marketing Today. In the meantime, we've posted links to some specific resources related to Robin and to the Event Marketing Innovation Tour on our website. You can find those listed under Episode 8 at www.experientialmarketingtoday.com. And as always, we appreciate your input and feedback On that same website, there's a tool for posting your comments, or you can send us an email using the address feedback@experientialmarketingtoday.com, or you can call our voice comment line and leave a message. That number is area code 615-690-6796. We look forward to sharing Robin's presentation with you in the next episode, and we hope you'll join us.
Thanks for listening to Experiential Marketing Today.